It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So how much is Harper going to get?
He's got to go yesterday,
325 or 350 now, right?
I said yesterday. What did I say yesterday? 310. He's going to get 31 million a year, right?
He's going to like.
They're going to price his right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The price right. Just bet $1 more. And
300 go that. Million and one.
I feel like he's like 325 or 350.
The more that I've been reading, though, about Bryce Harper, the less and less appealing he becomes because the guy just doesn't play defense. Now, I know it's a lot of Nationals talking behind the scenes and all kinds of stuff like that. But if the guy doesn't go out there and defend, I mean, do you want to pay him $310 million?
Well, he's got to now.
I don't think he has to. I don't know. Who's going to offer him that money?
I'm saying he can't. I think he's got to do a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Or beat Machado. This is like maybe you were looking for something else before, but now I think you have to, right? This is a chest out.
But what if nobody's offering you that?
That's
money,
when you, then you do a 1 year.
How much somebody. Do you do a 1 year deal for?
I don't know. Whatever your best offer.
What do you think the best he could get for 1 year is? If you were a team, what would you get Bryce Harper for
25?
1 year?
25? I don't know.
I don't know that I give him $25 million for 1 year. What does that get you as a team?
You have a chance to re-sign him long term. I mean, you get him in your fold, and maybe you like it. I don't know. Feels like a 1 year deal or beat Machado. You can't sign for less than Machado did.
But I mean, sure, you're
this
right.
This is about
but you,
the longest contest.
But somebody has to give you the offer, though.
Right.
If nobody's offering
Or else you
it,
don't do it. I mean, he's not
you're talking long term. But yeah, even if you sign a 1 year 25, it's still less than Machado.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign a, you know, if you're Harper, you're going to do like 4 years for 100 or something. You're be like, well, that dude just got 300. I'm not going to, why would I do that?
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it's going to be more than that or a one-year deal.
Four for 100 is still less than he got. You'd have to do four for
120.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah, plus. 125, I was going to say, about 120, yeah.
Per year, but that's
124.
Still
four for 124 gives you 31.
Did 300 million.
Yeah. If you're Bryce Harper, you're going, yeah, I got to sign for more.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's offering that? Like,
maybe the White Sox.
The Padres apparently are the only team that's paying anybody now.
Maybe the White Sox. Maybe the White Sox come back and maybe we can get the last one, but we have that similar money on the table for Bryce Harper. Quite possibly.
Maybe. I don't know. You look at the White Sox and you're like, do they need? I guess you could always use Bryce Harper, right?
Well, yeah, and your fans are bummed that they didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, he is an upgrade over.
This is your way to
anybody they have in their outfield.
This is your way to overcome that. I think.
Do you look at that though as overcoming, or is this kind of like taking the what's left over at the bar at 259
for 300 million? It's not.
But I don't know if you're the White Sox, are you offering that? That to me is now the big question.
You don't think Harper's as good as Machado?
I think Machado plays more of a premium position, plays two premium positions.
True, he plays a Gold Glove caliber shortstop
and third base. And Bryce Harper is not good defensively. I mean, that's the rub on him right now is he's no good defensively. So you've got a Gold Glove premium position defender that can hit versus a guy.
Now you're just in arbitration. Nonsense.
Right. No, I am. No,
because if I'm his agent, I'm going, yeah, you're better, Machado. We're going for way more than 300.
Of course. Come you're on. Saying that as the agent, but are you saying the right things if you're doing that? That's the question. I don't know.
Then he should have signed first. Save face.
Well,
right?
Maybe he didn't get an offer. Well,
maybe not.
Is it a competition between those two of who's going
to
get?
I would think this offseason has to be, right? Those are the two names. How do you come back going, oh, I only got 4 years for 78? Like, whatever. Like,
That would suck.
I mean, or you could be like Moose and just get a one-year deal last year and a one-year deal this year. And, you know?
Not 1 for 10, 1 for 6 or 1 for 10 or whatever it was.
I mean, if he would have signed the qualifying offer with the Royals last year, he would have made more money than these last 2 years combined.
Yeah, it's true.
He would have made $17.8 million in 1 year. He's made 16 in two.
Yeah.
Man, that's a boom.
Look out, ladies. Trevor Bauer comes to town quite frequently as a member of the Cleveland Indians, and he's honest. He's honest. In a feature in Sports Illustrated, he says he has 3 rules for dating. 1, no feelings. Mm-hmm. As soon as I sense you're developing feelings, I'm going to cut it off because I'm not interested in a relationship and I'm emotionally unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
2.
Okay, wait, hang on. Let me write these down. These sound good. No feelings.
These are terrible.
Can I just import these into my marriage now?
Yeah.
2.
Interesting.
No social media posts about me while we're together because private life stays private.
I don't mind that.
And 3, I sleep with other people. I'm going to continue to sleep with other people. If you're not okay with that, we won't sleep together. That's perfectly fine. We could just be perfectly polite, platonic friends.
No, he did.
He did do number 3. Wow. Yeah.
Trevor Bauer putting it out there. I'm sure he has plenty of takers.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's just fine. He's a major league pitcher.
I mean, he's just telling you don't catch feelings right off the jump. Like,
this is interesting to
ladies
me.
Ladies say they want honesty all the time.
Well, he's being honest. But this to me is in a different way, but very much like what John Rocker did. You know, John Rocker went out there and offended every race known to man on that article for Sports Illustrated. And here's Trevor Bauer going out there with these just awful rules for women and basically being a sexist pig by saying these things. No feelings. I don't mind the social media posts. I think that's fine. And look, I'm going to go sleep around with others. If you don't like it, that's on you. But I'm going to sleep with other people because I don't want to be held down. I mean, it's like, why would you utter these things out loud from a PR standpoint?
Go get a prostitute. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just be done with it.
This is just like stuff. There are certain things in which you can believe, and then there are certain things you don't say. And these kind of fall into that category of you
can believe in a relationship. I don't post social media.
I mean, let's call it what it is. This goes for a lot of athletes. Trevor Bauer is not unique in this.
This is brutally honest.
Right. But sometimes being brutally honest is not the right way to go.
Are we all going to sit here and act shocked that athletes are promiscuous?
No, I'm not acting shocked at all. I'm just saying I'm shocked that he said it.
It's almost like this is the checklist I present, and you have to sign this is your waiver.
I mean, don't catch feelings, don't post on the gram, and I'm gonna be sleeping around. Those are his ground rules.
Those are his ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've told you guys this before. Like, I think any relationship, be it a working relationship or an actual relationship, expectations are important, right? What do I expect from you? What do you expect from me? Trevor Bauer's laying it out there. Nothing but respect.
Yeah, he's got it. He's got it out there. And if he didn't have it on a spreadsheet for him or something before, he could just bring the Sports Illustrated article down.
Besides, like, I challenge
Derek Jeter
home.
Had basically these same rules. He just didn't go out there and announce them to the free world.
No, he was giving out gift baskets.
Right. But we only found that out he may have been done playing by the time we found that out.
I'm just saying, So we're to the point now where we know this is occurring. We know this is
it's
the
been
norm,
occurring for years. Guys have separate rooms for their wives and girlfriends on the road. They sit in separate parts of the stadium. I mean,
so we're saying just don't talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can know you do this every day.
Well,
just don't tell me.
There's a difference between knowing you do it and really knowing you do that. You know what kind of S storm this now is causing for the Indians and their PR staff. How are we going to handle this today?
You think this is causing an S storm for the Indians?
Absolutely. Yeah, my wife's uncle's the vice president of communications for the Indians. This is absolutely 100% causing people to be in meetings today going, what are we going to do about this? Because you know who's going to react now? Women's groups are going to come out and talk about this stuff. It's going to be bigger than just the sports world. He is a sexist pig now in the minds of a lot of people for saying stuff like that. You don't say stuff like that. You can live your life the way you want to live it, but if you're laying out ground rules, hey, look, you better not have feelings with me. I'm just here to sleep with you. That doesn't go over.
It sounds to me like he's just saying, ladies, I don't want a relationship. I want friends with benefits.
Well, then you go about saying that. Say, look, I'm a 20-something year old pitcher right now. I'm not looking to get married.
You could say it like that. He is keeping it real goes wrong.
Guess baseball's audience is like 105, so some of them would probably be upset about this. I'm not shocked that a 28-year-old millionaire is out here saying, look, ladies, I'm not trying to tie myself
right
down.
Nobody's shocked that he's saying it. We're shocked that he actually came out and said it. You live your life just and do your thing. You don't need to go out there and lay out your three ground rules at SI.com.
So you're not shocked that he said it. You're just shocked he said it.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, that makes sense.
One publication is out with a Chiefs checklist. How are they doing thus far? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Chiefs have finalized their defensive coaching staff, and the entire thing is turned over from a season ago, and you're probably applauding, right? Andy Reid heading into year 7. They've turned over the entire staff. The only holdover to the defensive coaching staff is Andy's son, Britt. Britt Reid, now the linebacker slash outside linebackers coach, was the defensive line coach a season ago. But Steve Spagnuolo, the new defensive coordinator, and a whole new staff. Everybody changing over heading into this season, which is, to me, this late in your career, willing to hopefully do what it takes to put yourself over the top, either if it was Andy or someone that persuaded Andy to do it, the right move. Not afraid to, he's been a guy that's been very loyal. He was probably extra loyal to Bob Sutton.
Sure.
But when change needed to happen, change has been made, and change has been made on the defensive side of it.
And in a good way. I mean, I think this is good change. This, to me, a lot of times in sports, and me included, you've been included, and we've all been included in this as a sports fan, we want change just to make change. You know, we fire the guy. Well,
just give me
hire?
Something different. Yeah.
Give me somebody while I'm waiting type of deal, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, all right, here's the deal with the Chiefs defensive coaching staff. Would I have cried, screamed, and yelled if Bob Sutton was brought back? No, because I ultimately did not believe that the entire fault lies with Bob Sutton. What I do believe, however, is that, yeah, you probably should have made some change, okay? I'm for the change. But changing the coordinator wasn't going to be enough for me. Just because you have Steve Spagnuolo in there doesn't mean things are going to change. You needed more than that. They changed the entire coaching staff, and I really like the way that they went about putting this coaching staff together. I don't know any of these coaches. I don't never heard of most of these names of these guys who are the assistant coaches. But what I like is how they established a staff. They went out and hired guys that worked with Steve Spagnuolo before. This David Merritt, one of the defensive back coaches, was with him with the Giants, has a couple of Super Bowl rings, knows the system. The house guy they got from Kentucky spent 3 years with Steve Spagnuolo while he was the head coach in St. Louis coaching the Rams. He knows the system. You don't have to coach your coaches. Sam Madison, a former defensive back in the NFL, played for 3 years with Spagnuolo with the Giants, knows the system. He's got the street cred of a Super Bowl ring as a player that knows the system, that can help coach these guys up and approach it from a way as from a player's perspective instead of a coach's perspective. So I really like what they did on the defensive side of the football, just from a philosophy standpoint, Josh. Maybe the names aren't going to turn out to be good. I don't know. But from a philosophy standpoint, the Chiefs hit a freaking home run with this defensive coaching staff. I love the way they went about doing it. I love the thought process. I love everything about the whole philosophical way that they've created this coaching staff. We'll see if it achieves results and success. Hopefully it will. But to me, I think they couldn't have done better from that standpoint in hiring this coaching staff than what they did defensively. I applaud them.
ESPN did a checklist of offseason moves for each team, and I want to see, Fesco, what you think of their checklist for the Chiefs. This is their offseason checklist. Franchise D Ford.
Yeah, I think they're going to do that, right? Didn't that kind of happen yesterday? You know, well, yesterday was the first day you could do it, so I'm good with that.
They're also saying they wouldn't be surprised if they'd come to terms with a long-term deal still with, with D Ford.
Sure.
They're paying it 5 years, $90 million range. Guess that still depends how much would be guaranteed, but 5 for $90, I guess that's probably about right. The second one, release Justin Houston. I think you're on board with that one. Houston, the 6-year, $101 million deal after the 2014 season, 22 sacks in 2014, 30 cents. If they could get him to restructure, I thought that was still like the best move. Try to get him to restructure, but they'd be $14 million in cap space by moving on from him. Have to eat some, but he's got a cap hit about $20 million next season.
Mm-hmm.
Release Justin Houston. Your thumbs up on that one. You've been for a while.
I have been on that for a while.
Work a new deal for Chris Jones.
I'm good with that.
Chiefs need to find cap room to work an extension for Jones, who enters the final season of his contract, blah, blah, blah. They say it would behoove the Chiefs to work out the long-term deal for Chris Jones, free up the opportunity to have a franchise tag, possibly the next season for not Jones, but for Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're working on an extension for Tyreek Hill, which I know you're not in favor
of.
No,
not at all.
Boy, the more I hear, though, it feels like they're going to do that.
It sounds like it, and that's fine. You know, you want to go do – I don't necessarily agree with it. I just think long-term deals for position players are fool's gold.
I like one long-term deal, and I'm talking long-term like 5 years. I could use 4 or 5 years of Tyreek Hill and then be done with it and be ready to move on. When you hit that 30-year-old time frame, mm-hmm. like the Antonio Brown's world, I would never be in that market. But I could see – that happening if they could make that work. So four was or work on extension for Tyreek Hill, kind of one or the other. And then their fifth spot on the checklist, find a new center.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, really. Like, I think the time of Mitch Morris is done in Kansas City. He's going to get a nice contract from somebody, but he's also injured a lot.
Rodney Hudson.
Yeah,
remember,
right.
Remember when Rodney Hudson left and people were going, oh my gosh, they got rid of their starting center. And yeah.
Well, they got Austin Ryder, did you notice the difference when he was in there?
He got paid pretty well in Oakland. Other than that, I don't know.
Right, exactly.
You got Mitch Morse, which was a pretty good pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's had some injury issues, and I would probably do the same thing he did before. Let him go sign somewhere else, and
sure.
It seems like there's some appeal for him for some other teams. And maybe Austin Ryder is a guy. You've already got him, or maybe you find something in the draft.
Did you even notice Austin Ryder games? No.
Not really. I think they did a great job along the offensive line.
That's what I'm saying. They do a nice job. The offensive line was really good last year, whether it was Austin Ryder, whether it was Mitch Morris, whether it was Lou Gotz playing offensive line. I thought they did a really good job. That's a credit to Andy Heck and the offensive staff for coaching these guys up and putting them in positions to be successful. Also a credit to the quarterback for making things look so easy out there. You know, I think a lot of offensive linemen will tell you, well, we look good because this guy was really good back here. So, but it all starts up front. And I think by putting Austin Ryder in at center, it's a dime a dozen at that position, in my opinion, right now. You don't need to overpay for Mitch Morris. Let him go to another team that's going to pay him money, let him make his money, and call it a day. You know, it was nice doing business with you.
Or find something in the draft.
Yeah, or find something in the draft, yeah, because he started as a rookie right
away. Or another
away.
Option
yeah.
could be Cam Irving. He used to play center.
Right.
Maybe you move him back over to a center spot, although I feel like he's kind of found his footing, found his best.
Maybe, and you don't want to mess up with too many positions along the line. But
maybe not, but I think you have options there, which is a good thing that doesn't force you to overpay for a quote-unquote veteran center.
Correct, yeah.
He's not completely veteran, but veteran enough to be getting that money the second go-round. Someone will pay for Mitch Morris.
Mm-hmm. Somebody will. It always happens. Guys in the NFL spend money foolishly all the time.
Don't feel like the Chiefs need to in that regard. Nope. What would you give up? An interesting question to get to next.
Fesco in the morning.
Very fitting song. We're going to talk about millennials here. It's right in their wheelhouse. Swing man. Fesco, though, you found an interesting poll involving those dreaded millennials.
Well, I think it really hits home for everybody right now. And your response to this was one of the best responses I've ever heard, really.
Well,
in Los Angeles over the weekend, and I was watching whatever channel news, KTLA 5. It says right here on this picture that I illegally took of the TV screen, but I figured this was a good show topic, so I'm taking a picture of this. And it was talking about home ownership and, you know, millennials having home ownership because, let's be honest here, do you really want a yard? You know, if you're a millennial, they don't want all that kind of stuff. They just want lock and key.
Sure. They want to do it so they can buy one of those, like, old-style Porky Pig lawnmowers so they can talk about how they don't pollute the environment when
right.
I cut my grass.
So,
I told you I had one of those. It was awful.
My neighbor, two doors down, has one of those.
We had a house that had a very small patch of yard. I'm like, I don't need a gas lawnmower. I'm going to get one of those push ones with the blade. It was awful.
You think you're better than me? Because it takes you 4.5 hours to mow your grass?
Even for a small amount of time, it's so much work.
How many times did you use it?
I gave it a good run, but it was awful.
Did
I
mean, you so you dug in
jammed and up and half. The blade was never it was awful.
You had to sharpen the blade all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Waste of time.
Yeah.
You and Looney Tunes are the only people that use that mower.
So they were talking about what millennials would give up for homeownership. And they polled millennials, and I forget the number, the percentage that I used, but it was 30, I don't know, more millennials believe that they would hook up with an A-list celebrity than ever be able to own a home. Now, this is obviously out in Los Angeles where it costs you $1 million to buy a one-bedroom home.
Yeah, that's a much
home,
different
right?
story, yeah.
Completely than different than something around country, here. But yeah. We're spoiled here with our home prices and our cost of living. So millennials in Los Angeles believe that they have a better shot of hooking up with an A-list celebrity than they do to buy a home. And then they said, all right, millennials.
Like first base or?
Hooking up, whatever they determined hooking up was.
Getting a picture taken on TMZ.
You know, news anchors don't normally talk about the definition of hooking up. They're a little more highbrow than we are.
I'm just trying to lay down the ground.
I understand. And so then they asked millennials, what would you be willing to give up in order to own a home? And not like free and clear mortgage-wise, right? You still have to pay your 30-year note or your 50, whatever you got.
So they essentially asked what they would do for a Klondike bar.
Basically, okay. Yes, yes. What would you be? 48% of millennials would be willing to give up Chipotle forever in order to own a home.
Oh, goodness.
So here's the deal. You can own a home, but you have to give up Chipotle forever. Are you willing to do that?
I could rant and still have Chipotle.
You can do both.
Okay. 47% of millennials said
they got all your money back from Chipotle. You're still that's still not your down payment money.
No,
it's
God,
like
no.
It's not like you're
right. 47% of millennials say that they would never again post on Instagram.
Oh my goodness.
If they could own a home.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what this says more about, like the people don't want to own a home or the things that people really are into. Because it goes on. 39%.
Because that would be the easiest thing to do.
Never post on Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could give up Chipotle forever, be fine with that. I like Chipotle, but that's fine.
There's Qdoba.
Yeah. 39% of millennials would never eat avocado toast again.
Oh, no.
In order to own a home.
The horror.
Full disclosure, I've never had avocado toast. Is it delicious? Do I need to try it?
It's avocado on toast. That's, yeah, it's good.
I know what I thought. Yeah. It's toast with avocado on it.
We're starting to wonder why the rest of the world hates us here. Okay.
I mean, I'm confused. Do they not know that there's also an option where you could have Chipotle and a house?
And finally, it was just like a poll. Would you be willing to give up Chipotle for the rest of your life if you could own a home? Oh, sure. Okay, fine. 29% of millennials said they would give up their iPhone forever if they could own a home. So you could have a Samsung.
Doesn't say phone, period.
Right.
You can have pronounce droid. Samsung so weird.
Samsung.
Samsung. I don't know.
Like it was a guy named Samsung.
Like yeah. Two names.
I don't know. They have a new iPhone Samsung 10 coming out or something like that this week.
iPhone.
Yeah. The new iPhone.
My grandma did the same thing with Band-Aid.
Band-Aid?
It was like Band-Aid.
So Band-Aid. I'm looking at this list and I'm like, my God.
Gatorade?
Yeah. Gator. Is it in you?
Was I?
Like, it's amazing to me.
So there's a guy named Samsung.
Yeah,
so pissed
he's right so now. Mad right now. Samsung? That millennials, like, it's just a whole mock of.
Your name is Samsung. Do you buy a Samsung or do you purposely don't because it takes you off?
You tell them you own the company and you want it for free. It's just amazing to me what millennials are so into. Like,
see if there's a Samsung.
Only 47% of millennials said they would never post on Instagram again if they could own a home. Like, posting on Instagram, eating Chipotle, having avocado toast, and their iPhones are more important to people today than owning a home.
And no problem.
I could do all of that.
No problem.
All and not think twice
and
about
it. And then you're just going to give me a home?
Right.
Sure.
And you're going to pay the mortgage on it.
Where do I sign up for that?
You're going to pay the mortgage on it.
You do that to cover the down payment for sure.
Oh, if you
not even close.
Yeah, if you're going to give me the 20% down.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
Yes. All
fine.
Of those. All of them.
All of them. With no issue.
All of them.
I would
found a guy in the Philippines named Samsung on Facebook.
I would never sit around like 10 years from now going, God, I need to post on Instagram.
But also you want to trip over yourself to, you don't even own a home. I mean, the home ownership thing is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
You owe your mortgage company. Your mortgage company owns your home.
Right, right.
I don't know how many people are going to get to 30 years on a mortgage anymore, or 20 years on a mortgage anymore. I doubt that number's tremendously high.
I was telling you yesterday, I've had more jobs and homes than my parents have had.
And I've as
and
well.
You said the same thing.
Yeah. There's another one in the Philippines.
But if you're like, oh, well, if the decision is like avocado toast or what?
Yeah, why are you thinking twice about that?
Then just go ahead and rent.
Yeah.
It's fine. Renting's fine.
If you have to have avocado toast so bad that it would prevent you from owning a home,
just go ahead and rent. You'll be just fine.
But don't you have other issues then, too?
I don't know.
I got to have Chipotle instead of a home. You do? Why? There are other alternatives, especially in California. There's burrito stands everywhere out there. Food trucks.
I mean, is the reverse also true? Like 39% of where said they give up Chipotle, so that means the other portions wouldn't?
No, 48% would give up Chipotle forever.
So does that mean 52 wouldn't?
Would not.
They're like, no,
man.
I gotta have Chipotle.
Yeah.
I'll just rent.
52% of millennials would rather eat Chipotle than own their own home.
See, I feel like we've been looking at it the wrong way.
I think
53% of millennials would.
I think those people are fine, too. I don't have a problem with those people. Like, if you just want to have Chipotle and rent, there's no problem there either.
The Philippines is crawling with Samsungs, by the way. I feel like we haven't addressed that.
53% of millennials would rather post on Instagram than own their own home.
Now, that's just weird.
61% of millennials would rather eat avocado toast than own their own home.
I own my own home. It kind of sucks.
So renting, though.
Yeah, renting is.
I mean, if you get good neighbors.
But I feel like home ownership is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a great question. Is there an Android?
Find that out now. Because I'm never paying off a house.
My parents have paid theirs off.
I know.
They've been in it forever.
My parents, we're never paying off a house. We're never going to get to the end of a mortgage and have that party go, woo, our mortgage is paid off. We're just going to have another mortgage in a different house at some point
in
time. That's it. We're never going to own a home. I hate those questions where I say, do you rent or own?
Yes.
You technically put own, but you're like, not really. I'll never own this.
It's true.
Some bank owns it. They got a better shot at owning this thing than I ever will.
I don't think this chick's real name is Android.
No.
There's no way.
You don't think there's an Android? I believe.
Got a lot of hot friends,
I would believe that there would for sure be an Android.
She spelled it with like the weird dots over the letters. What are those things called?
Umlauts from Germany.
Just going to take your word for that.
So it's Android?
Android Day.
She on Facebook?
Yeah. So where do you think I'm finding these people?
I don't know.
Google. LinkedIn searches?
Google.
Just open up a Philippines phone book?
But I bet you if you asked, like for our parents, what's the equivalent of Chipotle, Instagram, avocado toast,
they'd
and
smack
iPhones?
Us.
We'd get hit. You know, like our parents probably said, like, what was, like, Salisbury steak was probably big when our parents were growing up.
What?
Would you rather have Salisbury steak or own your own home?
Chet's Supper Club or own your own home.
Right. Would you never want to develop a Polaroid again or own your own home? Would you give up butter on white bread or own your own home?
Buttered bread at dinner.
Buttered roll.
Would you give up the phone you rent from Ma Bell, or would you rather own your own home?
Corded phone or home ownership?
Indoor plumbing?
Rotary dial phone or home?
They're laughing at us, and they should.
Oh.
But this is a pathetic list.
It really is.
Pathetic.
Like, I didn't realize, I guess, how important Chipotle, Instagram, avocado toast, and iPhones were to the millennials. I just didn't get that.
I'm stunned by the number of Samsungs there were in the world. I mean, I always knew it would be a possibility, but here we are.
You always knew since about 9:33?
Yeah. I always knew it was a possibility.
17 minutes left of the show. Ryan's done. Coming up, it was big money, but
it's a snow day. We got to go get the kids.
It was the right type of money. I'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
Fesco in the morning.
big dollar sign surrounding Manny Machado. Finally, a free agent has been signed this offseason, heading to San Diego. I don't know if he'll have that big cardboard check, but I'd definitely ask for it. 10 years, $300 million. I'd want that in a cardboard check.
What
now
would that look like if he was standing at the welcome press conference holding that check? That's arrogance.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But it's also arrogance to basically you're like, I'm getting $300 million. So who's coming to talk? It's pretty. The whole thing's pretty.
But again, it goes kind of back to the Trevor Bauer thing. It's like you know these things are going on, but you don't want it. You know,
he's not getting all $300 million at once. So we'd have to have like a $30 million.
So every year you just get up there with a $30 million.
Like if I was Bobby Bonilla,
every spring training open, he shows up and they hand him the big check.
Yeah, like if I'm Bonilla, I request a giant check from the Mets every year. Every year.
I love the guy who won the lottery in Iowa who won a dollar on the scratch off and requested the big check and got it,
and they gave him one.
Wait, you can do that? That's an option?
Apparently, yeah.
Huh.
In Iowa.
This guy wanted a check. He
got a check. He got it. He stood up there with a $1 check.
What isn't possible in the land of Iowa? Seems like a lovely
fields
place.
Fields of opportunity.
It is, yeah.
Tell you, right when you come
smiles and smiles of opportunity in Iowa. You get
can't keep that Terrible's Casino open, though.
No, Terrible's is closed now. That was a great name for a casino.
It was a great sign.
A fantastic sign.
One of the best in the business.
The sad part about Iowa is and I used to think
sad part about Iowa.
Well, they can't get out of the snow. It's been so brutally snowing up there, like worse than here. You think it's been bad here? My God, Des Moines, those poor people.
I always just assume it sucks in Iowa.
I used to think back in the day in my
drive
earlier
this all
days,
winter, yeah, pretty much,
that Iowa should be divided between Missouri and Minnesota. Minnesota should just extend to I-80 and Missouri should extend north to I-80 and boom, get rid of Iowa. But the more time that I've spent in Iowa, the more I realized I actually kind of like Iowa. And I think Iowa is very underrated as a state and a place in which to live.
There I feel like we have plenty of space here. We need to stretch our legs out all the way to I-80.
Well, I'm looking at Iowa. I'm like, what do they really contribute besides corn? I mean, like, what does Iowa do? And then I realized
you're just
like,
sit here and take it.
The bridges of Madison County are gorgeous. That little town that you go Winterset is very nice. Des Moines is quietly very nice,
pretty
too.
Pretty sure we brought you Casey's.
Oh, is that from Iowa?
I believe so. I'm not positive.
But the come and go you guys have
David
up there.
Armbruster invented the butterfly stroke in 1934 in Iowa.
I like Iowa.
Eskimo pie was invented in Iowa.
Okay.
The trampoline.
Very good.
See, radio.
Iowa has
invented
so many.
Invented the radio in 1947.
No, Marconi invented the radio.
Lee DeForest, known as the father of radio.
I have heard of
it's
Calvert.
It's also French for Lee of the Forest.
Mm-hmm. Calvert's father.
Ronald Reagan used to do radio in Iowa. Yeah.
Did he really?
And hybrid corn.
Well,
they gave us hybrid corn, Bob.
How about sorghum? Did that come from Iowa? But so I've grown
ethanol,
to I've grown to really appreciate the state of Iowa and everything it has to offer. So
the butterfly stroke was really the crown jewel of that list.
Yeah. I think if you go spend a weekend in Des Moines and check out Field of Dreams and Keokuk, there's a lot of cool little towns in Iowa.
You know Keokuk.
Sliced bread was invented in Iowa.
Actually, no. You are wrong about that. Sliced bread was invented in Chillicothe, Missouri. They have the sliced bread festival every year in Chillicothe.
Ooh, let's see here. Davenport native Otto Rowetter didn't invent bread, but he didn't engineer and invent the machine that cut the bread. It was wrapped bread, and then he sold the machine to a place in Chillicothe. So it was invented in Iowa, and then he sold it to a place in Chillicothe.
He did what any good business person did, which is
spun
sell a great idea.
Yeah.
So sliced bread was, in fact, invented in Iowa.
There you go.
Well, no, the Chillicothe claims
they just
they
bought
are,
the thing.
But they claim that they're the home of sliced bread. They have a sliced bread festival every year. You can't have a sliced bread festival if you didn't invite the sliced bread.
No, you can't.
You didn't.
You just do it.
You just bought the invention. Yeah.
So you're saying Chillicothe's a fraud now?
The first guy to buy a light bulb didn't invent the light bulb.
All of this stuff we ever learned about Chillicothe, and now you're telling me it's a damn lie?
Yeah, probably.
Wow. You're a wrecker of dreams.
What are you trying to do to me today? We already got snow. Kids are stuck at home.
Somebody wants us to talk sports, by the way.
Well, I was going to talk some Manny Machado. Because you look at that contract and you say 10 years, $300 million, and you go, oh my goodness, is anybody worth it? You look at the stats and you're like, he had his best year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Finally was over 100 RBI. Hasn't yet hit 40 home runs. Okay, you figure
that's a big number, though, Josh. 40 is a big number.
You figure he's a 40 home run, 150 15 RBI guy like year in, year out. Hasn't been that yet. Okay?
I think 40 is a lot to ask. I think if you're 30 to...
But she's been yeah. in the mid to upper 30s.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's like a 35 home run guy. Not, and he said one 100 RBI year. But you're like, okay, the richest contract ever in baseball?
Ever in American sports.
American sports goes to a guy that hasn't done this, and this. And you go, wow, that's... He hasn't really earned this. But then I think back a few years ago when Jurgen Klinsmann, the former U.S. soccer coach, remember made that comment about how America just does it wrong, man. They pay all these guys for past performance, and it should be about paying them for what they can bring you.
Absolutely.
Stop paying guys late. And we kind of laughed at it at the time, but the further we get from that, I go, yeah, it's absolutely true.
Why did we laugh at that when he said that?
Because we didn't like the fact that America was wrong.
I guess, but we are in this instance.
Yes,
we are.
This is actually the correct type of contract. You're paying Manny Machado for expectation of future services.
Yeah, and not already services rendered, but he's still got a lot of years left of him.
But you're paying it for a guy who's 25 years old for the next 10 years, expecting him to produce for you. Not he had this massive thing, and then we're going to overpay him at the end. It may not pan out at the end that this contract is worth it at the end of things, but this is the right framework for a contract.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Rather than what we normally do, which is have somebody and then you pay them, and then you're like, oh, my God, this totally stinks. This guy's over the hill. What are we doing? This is at least paying a guy through his prime for expectation of future results.
I think the White Sox, though, probably had a better framework of the deal because 10 years is a long time. Okay, that puts him at 35 years old. The White Sox would have been able to get out of that deal after his 33rd birthday. And that's kind of when you start...
Be some bad stuff at the end. There'd be a couple bad years at the end.
There could be more than a couple bad years at the end. But if I'm looking at this from a realistic expectation, from a business sense, 8 years makes a lot more sense than 10 years. Now, if he was 23 years old and you want to give him, okay, fine. I get that.
He wanted to take him.
But he was not taking that. He wanted to be the first $300 million player in baseball and the first $300 million athlete. And it's the highest contract ever given out to an American professional athlete. We'll see what Bryce Harper goes out there and gets. I don't know if he's going to beat that or not. Manny Machado's a better defender, plays a premium position.
He's also a jerk.
Yeah, doesn't hustle. Machado or Harper?
Harper's a good
Machado.
Dude.
I think Harper's a good dude. Friend
Harper's
of the show.
A great guy.
Yeah, we had a nice chat with him when he was in Kansas City once. So, good stuff coming up on 610 Sports Radio today. Larry Johnson will join the show and Vern coming up at 11:30.
Samsung going to join him too.
And Chris, Coach Kleiman, K-State, how about that? The new K-State coach in studio this afternoon with The Drive.
Win that dang day.
At 2:30, the new K-State football coach will be in with The Drive this afternoon at 2:30. There you go. Show and Vern, come your way next on 610 Sports Radio.
You win that dang day.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.